May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, we ended with one of my favorite hymns, God is Love, which included this verse, God is love and love enfolds us, all the world in one embrace, with unfailing grasp. God holds us, every child of every race. And when human hearts are breaking under sorrow's iron rod, then we find that self-same aching deep within the heart of God. Today we're going to end with a rousing hymn that is also one of my favorites, Earth and All Stars, in which we sing the God's love creating new things. Earth and all stars, hail, wind, and rain, engines and steel, all these things are singing a new song of praise to God for God's love. Because only rooted, abiding, connected to that love, are we able to do new things. Maybe on this soggy day, we can relate a little bit to the community in Acts in our first reading, who were getting a little protective of God's love, a little jealous of God's love, and were saying, you're going to baptize these people? What? You're going to baptize these people? And they learned that day what we have to learn over and over again, even when we're feeling soggy or jealous or grumpy or whatever, and that is that God's love is not fair. God's love is not fair. It extends even to people that we would not choose for God to love. It extends to people even before maybe they make amends. It extends to people that includes ourselves and any shame or wrongdoing that we carry within us. God's love enfolds us in one embrace. God's love is too generous. Maybe God's just too nice, and it's so frustrating sometimes because we want to make sure that God's love is given to only those who deserve it. But that's not how God's love works. God is love. The very essence of God is love, and God gives life to everything there is. And that generosity pours out to us and beyond us and through this world and this life that we are gifted, and it motivates and illuminates and inspires us to be even just a little bit as generous. There's a passage from the final chapter of Anne Lamott's book, Somehow. And I love this quote. It's a little bit long for a sermon, but I cut out as much as I could. So here it is. She writes, I've quoted my own version of a William Blake line for so long now that I think it's mine. We are here to learn to endure the beams of love. That's a quote from William Blake. We are here to learn to endure the beams of love. She writes, I have lived by these words for nearly 50 years, ever since I first read the quote. It is the sentence I want my family to remember when I am gone. Also, she says, I hope they forget that someone else wrote it and that I get the credit. This is a radical idea, absolutely contrary to everything I was raised to believe. I was taught to strive, to feel ashamed, to keep the family secrets, to believe I was better than, yet always in danger of lagging behind. I was taught to judge and surpass and above all to showcase a shiny surface of confidence, individualism, and self-sufficiency. What Blake is saying, she writes, is that none of those things are who I am or why I am here. But without them, who on earth am I? Still a student? Aging, set in her ways, moi? And to bear the beams of love? In some ways, she writes, that's my nightmare. No thanks. The cold, vibrating spaces inside us protect us and keep us on our toes. Love breaks your heart, and love makes you soft. It gets in past our Brooks Brothers armor and makes you your skin as and makes you soft. I already said that, sorry. It gets past your Brooks Brothers armor and makes your skin as permeable as the little green tree frog my friend Carolyn found in her shower. If you practice enduring people's bewildering love for you, it will change you molecularly. It loosens you, warms you. Bearing the beams of love can dislodge ancient feelings of joy, pain, shame, and pride trapped inside you and make you smell strange and funny like soup. We can't give up on love batting last, or we truly are doomed. As Carl Sagan said, for small creatures such as we, the vastness is bearable only through love. It is only by abiding in God's love and in God's community that we learn what we really need to know about love. And what we really need to know is, as the vines and the branches rooted in God and in community, we will always have things to learn from one another. We will always be discovering, and that should not make us fearful. It could be exciting. So, being in community, facing and engaging the truth of what's all around us, in love, with love, because of God's love, is what we're called to do as faithful disciples of Christ. We were meant to endure the beams of love, not to be shamed, not to get by pretending, not to get by leaning on our prejudices. Honest discussions help us live honest lives, and honesty in many ways is freedom from self-deception and complacency. I think I learned about abiding from my mother's family. All of us are Episcopalians. My grandfather, my mom's dad, was an Episcopal priest. And yet we did not agree with one another on hardly anything, right? Some things, but we had a lot of disagreements. We would not talk about certain things because there was a little bit of a Davis and temper involved as well. And we just stuck to things often that we did agree on. And there were many things in the beauty of God's nature and in our care for one another that we did agree on. What we didn't agree on was some theology and sociology and history and politics and a few other things. And you may know, your family may look like that or not, but you also may know that denominations, even though we are part of each other, also have trouble agreeing on everything. And this is a little side note, that this past week, the United Methodist Church voted to unite with the Episcopalians into full communion. So we're in full communion with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America and some other churches, but this was a big deal. Now, it's going to take time to figure what that means, and in our church processes and bureaucracies, the Episcopal Church isn't going to be able to vote on it for 7 years or so. But this is a reuniting of a Christian community that divided. But it also comes in the midst of division in the Methodist Church. So the global Methodists have divided from the United Methodists. And so as one branch takes another direction, this other branch reunites a division. And yet we are all rooted in God. One branch moves one way, another way, and yet we are all still abiding in God. To go back to my family, in the summer we would gather for family events or time together, and like I said, I disagree on so many things, but we would gather together for prayer before dinner, before meals, and we would eat together. And while sometimes I just wanted to go off and be by myself and abide in God reading under the willow tree, there was something enduring about that practice of coming together and praying and being at table together that has shaped me ever since. To be at table, praying together, even in our disagreements. To be at table eating together, even in our differences. I think that type of abiding is quite beautiful. Yesterday we had an Eagle Scout ceremony for one of our longtime acolytes, Crucifer Today, Byron Walton. And the ceremony was very moving. And as we listened to the traits that Byron is committed to and lives to, and the values he tried to live into, I was so reminded of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits are the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. As Jesus said in John 15, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." But producing fruit, bearing fruit, is not easy. There is much to hinder the process. And yet we are called to produce these traits of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we speak gently to the other, it gives life. When we are faithful, we understand that God is faithful. And so we too can walk steady through the ups and downs of life. To search and act in goodness is a way that we can seek to bless others and also be proud of ourselves. Kindness is a way of imitating how God has saved us out of God's kindness, how God loves us purely out of God's kindness, and we are called to be kind to one another as we speak truths. The fruit of patience is not one that I have come to naturally. But the more we grow in patience, the more we are like God, who is generously patient with us. And peace is the calm that comes from abiding, even in the midst of division. And the joy that comes from the Spirit is not a Pollyanna joy, a fleeting feeling because you got a good deal or you got your way or whatever it is that might bring you joy. Joy is not that feeling of euphoria, but a choice to put our integrity into action. That is the joy that abides in God and gives meaning to our lives. The theologian John Sobrino, in his book, The Principle of Mercy, wrote that the resurrection of Jesus is a symbol of hope. And I don't see how you can show love without being in solidarity with the victims of this world. And if you are in solidarity with the victims, I don't know how you can avoid the cross. The theology of the cross is the theology of love in our real world. But you don't have to be dour to do that. You just have to be a little bit brave. On May 21st, we're co-sponsoring with Interfaith Ministry a presentation of a book written by Lisa McNair. She is the sister of one of the four girls who died in the church bombing in Birmingham in the 60s. Her sister Denise was killed. The book is entitled Birmingham and Beyond, Living a Life of Love After Hate. She never knew her sister, and the book consists of letters to her sister that she never knew. And she wrote that her family has always honored her sister by just trying to be good people and by striving to go for love when they could have really chosen to hate. Remember the quote by Dr. King, love, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So as we consider the beauty and the choice that we have to abide in God's love, as we consider the generosity that sometimes goes beyond, thank God, what we ourselves could do, I invite you to abide in God's love, to remember that only with God's love can we do a new thing in this world, and to not be dismayed or despaired about the state of the world, but But remember that God has done marvelous things and will continue to do so this day and always. Amen.